This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Thursday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And oh boy, are we going to talk about Seattle. Holy crumoly, it's all over the news for a lot of reasons. None of them really that good.
Well, I just sit here and I woke up this morning and I turned on the news. And the one thing that popped into my head is we are seeing the final stages of DSA hard at work. Let's put it that way.
They are. Absolutely. They are. We're not at the beginning of this. We're somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. There's so much going on with this. Obviously, we're talking about the fallout from the shooting up at the Space Needle and the absolute just the. And again, you're like, is it incompetence? Is it willful? Is it both? I mean, in this case, the mayor is the most uninspiring, just spineless little weasel of a woman. And then the police chief is just a jerk who I think he's out of a job now. So,
well, I sit here and I go, you got to almost start at step one. You have a gang related shooting.
Yeah.
With minors. I mean, these were 15, 16 year olds shooting each other, killed three people, injured others. And then it's 5 hours before you get any update from the powers that be. We find out that the mayor is hiding under her desk. The police chief is living in Chicago.
He and was even at some conference somewhere in Dallas.
Yeah. It's and then they have a press conference that includes one of their reps as well as the state governor, who is now throwing the mayor of Seattle under the bus because he said, we didn't ask them to hold off their press conference till we arrived.
Yeah, because that was the line they kept putting out there. We're waiting for the dignitaries.
Was it Pia Powell's group who needed the photo op, or was it just the mayor was a little frightened?
Probably both. Pia Powell is particularly horrid as a representative and despicable. So I don't know, but it's interesting. And then, of course, they all just kind of stood there like bumps on a log and didn't really say anything. Now, apparently, the mayor, Mayor Forehead, is getting pressure from racial groups to not fire the guy. And so I don't know. You know what, Seattle, you voted for this. You know, sucks to be you, but This is it. This is what you voted for.
Well, it's sad that, okay, so what we know, initial was two people shooting at one another. It turns out it was three people.
Yeah.
One of the deceased is one of the shooters. The second shooter, the one they got, was 15 years old, and he's being charged with a gun charge and reckless endangerment. He's not even being charged with murder at this point.
And then you have 15-year-old juvenile. That's sort of redundant. Why do you keep pushing that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, because they want to slap him on the wrist and send him on his way to go get another illegal gun and shoot up something else, I suppose.
So there's still one person at large out there, and you think you're waiting 5 hours to let the public know that there's a potential dangerous person out there? Maybe that would have been a good idea from a law enforcement perspective, a PR perspective.
Well, and I would suspect, and we haven't seen any video, which I'm kind of going, you're at the Space Needle in Seattle. There is video.
And they waited 17 hours to even see if there was any, much less look at it.
Okay, so they have one. And number two, a firefight broke out between two people. So I would suspect that the young man they have in custody probably is well aware of at least semi-identity of who he was shooting at. So
crack police work going on up there.
Yep. Oh, no, they're not even concerned about the police work. They're concerned about the optics. And that's the crazy part. You have the police chief finally arrives back in Seattle. He holds a press conference. Any tough questions, he got mad, angry, shouted, was done with. Now he is on the chopping block, according to rumors. The NAACP, I believe, is out there, as all those other activist groups sitting there saying, you can't fire him.
Of course he can be fired. He's not doing his job.
Mm-hmm. I see some reports that here's the reality of things. The police chief works for the mayor, so the mayor is threatening him to fire him or is fired him. He's resigned. I don't know the scenario at this point. Based on travel that she okayed him doing as his boss.
The whole thing is so, it just screams incompetence. But then again, you know, they're all, she's an avowed socialist, so she's come right out and said it. Again, this is like her first job. Basically, so I mean,
is she making minimum wage?
Honestly, she needs to just, they voted her in. They should say, you know what? We made a mistake. Well, let's just start over. Let's try something else because this is a disaster.
Well, if she woke up and looked in the mirror and would have to kind of move around to make sure the forehead didn't get in the way of it, she might realize that she needs to resign and get the heck out of there and let someone who actually has had a job before possibly take over. If not, Seattle maybe needs a recall. I'm just sitting here going, these are just ideas. I don't think Seattle's going to go for any of them. They're just going to keep skirting by with their socialist, touting all of the amazing things she does as gunshots rang out around the city.
Yeah. And of course, the narrative again is guns. And of course, it just the whole thing, it's rinse, lather, and repeat in these blue cities. And again, it's kind of think in this case, it's a combination of incompetence. And it's also it's deliberate. It's being done on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you have Priyapal, you know, showing up for something like this, just to stay in the background and then make her statements about how do we get guns off the streets? How do we take the guns away from people? And she's fully made it all about the guns, longer the actions.
Do.
Yeah. I mean, if you're living in Seattle, you're going to Seattle. How do you even feel semi-safe going anywhere?
Right. Well, and you know, like I was there a couple of weeks ago, I was in the Ballard neighborhood and I felt okay in the Ballard neighborhood, but I'm kind of like spoiled and I don't like being, I don't miss the traffic. I don't miss the, you know, and I was always, my goal as a kid was when I wanted to grow up and I wanted a high rise, a penthouse in Manhattan. Nah, not anymore.
Well, I just sit here and I go, you just look at it. In the few months that she has been the mayor of Seattle, there was a couple of teenagers shot in a drive-by shooting during a school-sanctioned protest, ICE protest walkout on Rainier. Mm-hmm. Then she's holding a press conference as gunshots are being fired on the other side of the building she's in front of. Mm-hmm. Now you got this, and this doesn't count the literally prostitution pimp turf war that's happening on Aurora Avenue where they're not allowing the citizens to protect themselves. What's next, Seattle?
No, I know. And it's so frustrating that because this is about this guy's competence, and competence isn't based on what your race is. Competence is based on your competence. Mm-hmm. So to get sidelined again and then making this about race, frankly, is kind of racist. There should be performance measures, benchmarks, standards of conduct that you have. One of them should be you got to live in the city.
Well, that,
there's a basic one. Let's start there.
Let's start at the most basic. I'm sitting there going, a police chief that has nothing at stake. He doesn't live in the city. He doesn't live in the state, doesn't live in the hemisphere. I mean, he is over in Chicago is where his family is. That's where he's traveling regularly. How is a police chief a remote position?
It's nothing. It's clearly not. You need to live in the community. You know, and ideally the police chief comes up through the ranks. Mm-hmm. In a lot of cases, that's better. I know for many years that was the case in Salem. The police chief came up through the ranks. You know, wow, what a concept. Promoting from within. People who actually live here have a vested interest in the community that they're serving.
Well, I would take this one back to 2020, and it might have been difficult to promote from within. Because I would think that any tenured police officer, after they allowed Chaz and all the other things to happen during the summer of love, that any tenured police officer that could probably took early retirement, and any that were had been there for a while in the thick of things probably found a different job somewhere else.
Yeah, most of the really good cops are in red states now. They've they've relocated to greener, redder pastures. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Miller's Barbecue and Catering and Color Tile of Salem.
All right, so we were talking about the WNBA and, of course, the Seattle Storm and all the stuff that the terrible, frankly, embarrassing, really rather rude stuff that happened at the game between Seattle and Indiana Fever.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, that's because Sophie was there.
What a phenom she is. She is becoming a celebrity, number one. J.K. Rowling is now tweeting about Seattle Storm and Sophie and how atrocious was that. It was a co-owner of the Storm who basically got on the face of two young girls who were thanking Sophie with a sign saying, thanks for sticking up for girls and girls sports. Whoa, what a controversy there. It is now. But and so I guess that person has been reprimanded a one game.
Yeah, I think the league is.
You can't go to the game one time. Is
yes,
that the punishment?
Virtually that's. Yeah, I think there was a financial fine for her from the league and in a one game suspension and using choice words directed at 16-year-old girls by this old lady.
just awful, absolutely awful. So, of course, Sophie's jersey is sold out. Her Adidas shoes have sold out. I'm seeing the sweetest videos, these young girls, and they look like they're about 9, 10, 11, 12, that tween age, that are just like loving her. Doesn't hurt that she's gorgeous and she's, you know, she's talented. She's just amazing. Mm-hmm. And so I love seeing the positive. And I see J.K. Rowling had retweeted something when Brandy Cruz broke it, and it's just gone all over. And so Jennifer Say, who used to be on the left, who founded XXXY, the clothing line, which was those T-shirts the girls were wearing, has now invited J.K. Rowling to a game in the States. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it's kind of cool what's happening out there. Because I think people are really, and we say this a lot, but the more I see of this, the more hopeful I am that we're kind of past this insanity, or we're at least on the downward slope away from it.
Well, I will applaud these young ladies. They're 16 years old that were at the game. They took the verbal assault from the owner of the team, as well as the verbal assaults and some physical assaults, it sounds like, as well, from other adults. In particular, there's a video floating around of a beta male. And I always sit here and wonder why these men think that a 16-year-old girl is a good target to harass and curse at and you know, try and make feel bad about things.
Yeah. And he thinks, you watch the attitude and the facial expressions and the body language. He thought he was doing a real good thing there. Woo. Good for you, brave dude.
All I can say is I hope the league does the right thing, because here you are. You have a couple of people that are bringing viewers and money into this league. Mm-hmm. I would gather and I would bet that the Seattle Storm have not sold out a single game until they played this game all season
long. Well, I saw the pictures. It looked pretty darn full.
Because that's the kind of crowd that these two players in particular are bringing into the league. And rather than embrace them and say this behavior from these beta males and these old ladies and everything else towards fans that are there, why would these girls ever go to another game? Period. End of story. Why?
Yep.
No, why? There's no reason. So these people allowing this behavior is costing them money. I would ban these people from ever coming to another game ever again. I doubt the league will do that, but they should.
Because I don't think money isn't an issue. They've been subsidized since their inception. So I'm not sure that money and profit is a motivating factor. You know, they've got to get the message out there, and they've got to, you know, whatever the DEI line du jour, and they're just touting all this woke crap. And that's, I think, what they care about, which is why they're, and I don't even know that they're hanging these two women out to dry. These women will be fine. I think they just need to say bye and get out of there. Yep. And go off and do their own thing. I mean, they're the ones that are looking, again, they're becoming role models in this, where these other, and the league and the yelling people and the beta males just look foolish. They just look stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Wherever those two choose to go long term, that's where the money
They'll
is going
fine.
To flow.
Oh, heck yeah.
And I'm sitting here kind of going, I know that Ice Cube's 3-on-3. He runs a 3-on-3 professional basketball league.
The rapper Ice Cube?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
And he offered Caitlin Clark $3 million to come join his league.
Wow.
Whereas I believe her WNBA salary currently is about $600,000. So, could she be moving her talents elsewhere at some point in the near future?
It
would
be
interesting because the money would follow.
That is so interesting. Well, again, we're still following that. You know, social media is always an interesting thing. And it's just some, you know, you get magnified. And I'm glad to see some of the voices that are complimenting these two women getting magnified instead of drowned out by the negative Nancys, who I'm so tired of listening to. Let's drive a little further south on I-5, shall we?
About 3 hours or so.
About 3 hours. Quick stop in Portland. This story, you've seen the video. I have not. Headline out of Fox 12. And this is a couple days old. Portland City Council daddy comments called disrespectful and traumatic. What? What happened?
What?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, when you're dealing with a group of socialists that are easily offended and go with everything, and they have important things to discuss, the way this started about a week ago, Murillo, I believe her last name is, one of the counselors, was a little frustrated that they couldn't come up with it. It was virtually a budgetary thing, and it was a tiny fragment of their overall budget, and they couldn't come up to a consensus. The council was split half and half, so they had to call in the mayor to make the deciding vote.
Standard operating
so
procedure.
So she made the little comment of, I think it's pathetic that this group needs to call in, you know, and she kind of said, daddy to come and fix everything, or the daddy of Portland to come fix everything.
Ooh.
Well, one of the other counselors took major offense to that and then decided that it was obviously directed at her for some reason. And they had a little back and forth and back and forth. And Murillo came out earlier this week and kind of tried to, she didn't apologize, but she tried to kind of clarify. And of course, that wasn't good enough because she was hurt and offended because her father passed away. And
I'm reading this article and I'm like, how did this woman take this comment? Sounds like just a toss off comment. Maybe it was a little rude. Okay. Mm-hmm. To mean that it applied personally to her.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really, really stretch pretty far to make that happen. And then it sounded like there was a kerfuffle mm-hmm. and things got a little heated and people are stressed, man, but I don't know.
Well,
you know, I'm reading some of the things. I don't know how the other woman would even know that. And if she did, I highly doubt that this was about that.
Yeah, no, this was a simple comment made to say that they had to, I mean, virtually they had to call in the mayor to make a deciding vote on something that, yeah, this council probably should have been able to figure out on their own.
Yeah.
But of course, a lot of this just takes away from the fact that the Portland Trail Blazers are on the verge of leaving town. Massive businesses are still packing their bags and leaving Portland. They have over a 30% vacancy rate in downtown, and you have a city council fighting over the word daddy.
I was going to say this. I do use the word squabble because it's like the city is burning down around them and they're spending time on this and this becomes a news story. I mean, you work this stuff out,
mm-hmm.
you work it out behind the scenes and then to, you know, to sit there and it sounds like it was all on the record that all this complaining was being done. So it's all recorded. I don't know. It just, it's, you know, we were talking about the city of Salem and how the data center meeting and everything went and sort of the lack of decorum, the lack of seriousness, the lack of professionalism. And so many people now, you know, making demands on a council without understanding the issue in any regard. It's all just sort of part and parcel of that.
Well, and the lack of leadership, stopping interruptions and holding people to the 3 minute, what, you know, the time frame,
right?
And encouraging and supporting and actually holding people responsible for their lack of decorum. It's happening down here in Salem. I look at it, and I go, here's Salem here. Portland is the next step in this evolution because mm-hmm. now not only are you having the public act however they want, you're having the counselors act the exact same way. And rather than deal with things person to person, handle it, be done with it, and move on, they're taking it to the news media and making it big things as you literally let all these other things pass you by. I believe Daimler just made a big announcement that after, what, 75 years, they are packing their bags and leaving Swan Island.
Yep. Where is that? I mean, it's...
Yep.
It is 375 manufacturing jobs so far have left. Is it Daimler, whatever? Yeah. They're moving. 84 years of building freight liners in Swan Island is done. They're moving to the Carolinas. And again, sawmills are shutting down. You've got Malheur, Western Cascade, Prairie Wood, Geldwin, and Chiloquin took 128 jobs. business closures beat new openings by 1,700 in 2024 and about 6,000. In the first 9 months of 2005. And it just keeps happening. We hear more about this every day. And again, your news media isn't necessarily going to tell you all of this. You have to, it doesn't look good. So meanwhile, they're sitting there squabbling over this, or you've got, remember the video of the two women that are on there eating pizza and giggling and, you know, basically, I don't know, writing in their diaries
ignoring
everybody. I mean, that's the level of decorum and professionality you've got. No wonder this is happening. And they just don't look around. It's like, I think it's a combination of incompetence, hubris, arrogance, and intent.
Yeah. Well, I just sit here and I go, virtually, you can look right up the I-5 corridor. You start at Salem. We're at stage, what, 6, 7, 8 of this behavior. Portland is one or two above us, and Seattle is pushing the precipice of absolute crazy takeover, lack of accountability, lack of leadership, and just let criminality run amok.
And then, and again, these are all choices. Nobody has to live this way. Voters are choosing this. And again, I know you're going to have people, it's vote by mail, there's shenanigans, there's cheating, some sure, of course. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, Republicans aren't voting,
yep.
which is a big problem. And the other side of it is there's a lot of people that are so ideologically dug in, stove in, that they cannot fill the bubble for anybody who does not have that vaunted D next to their name.
Yeah, I've been seeing some posts. And of course, as we're talking about the governorship of Oregon, this vote coming up, talking about potential debates and things like that. The comment sections are absolutely crazy because I'm seeing some very logical ones. People saying, I'm voting for Christine Drazen. simply because we need something different.
Yep.
But I'm saying then the pushback is, oh, you want MAGA? Or I'm voting for democracy instead of, you know, Democrat or the Republican takeover. And I'm just going, you people are so ignorant. And I know most of them are probably bots or at least
real life.
They're not. They are bots in that they are people that aren't thinking for themselves.
I have this one dude that I used to work with. I leave him as a friend. He's obnoxious and ignorant, but I let him chime in on things sometimes. He's not a bot. He's just fully TDS'd. Everything, anything I post, he has to comment on it and steer it over to how much he hates Trump every time. They exist.
That's the thing. He's not a manufactured bot machine. He is absolutely a bot simply because he has no independent thinking at all whatsoever. He regurgitates everything he's told to say.
Yeah, he does. I keep him around just to see if he'll, is he going to chime in? There he goes. It's the same every time. Comic relief.
I used to have some of those, but most of them, you know, over the years have kind of unfriended because they don't even want to share that message with people that don't agree 110%.
And I actually don't even respond to him. I just let it stay out there. I don't comment. I don't do anything. I just let it be. It's fine. There you go. You had your say.
Well, you let those people show you.
Yeah,
exactly. What they're really all about.
Exactly. All right. Well, we've got a ton more to talk about on the other side of the break. So we are going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. There's just so much to talk about. So come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Okay, so a lot of us, I mean, I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched snippets, though, of course, of the Fauci, you know, 111 times pleading the fifth, including when asked what color his tie is and what day of the week it is. And I'm seeing a lot of analysis, political analysis out there that really kind of backfired on him. I really think it did. And somebody else was saying, I don't remember who it was, because a lot of people are like, is there going to be justice? I want to see a perp walk. That's not going to happen. Mm-mm. I mean, you were saying that the state of Florida may be looking at state charges. But if you look at about as far as like punishment, and if you're trying to find maybe a silver lining here, this guy was completely ego driven. You want to talk about pride cometh before the fall. This is exactly this case. A narcissistic guy who was just, you know, a fanboy and all the stars and everything, to be utterly disgraced and humiliated. I mean, that has to count for something.
Well, and that's where it's all going to come down to. And I sit here and I look, he's been pardoned from January 1st of 2014 till what, January of 2025.
Yeah.
Which the criminality side of things, there's probably a whole lot of things. They brought up a whole lot of them. Of course, he wouldn't answer any questions about it.
Right.
But all at an international, state, or federal level. Florida, looking into what occurred, I'm kind of going, from Florida's perspective, unless he had a gain-of-function center in Florida itself that was creating havoc, I don't see a way that a state level can put charges on him, because all he did was go on TV and lie to the American public.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go. I just kind of want to pull it in closer, because you saw, I mean, obviously Florida had a different, I mean, there's video resurfacing again of Governor DeSantis at a press conference and saying, take the masks off. They don't do a damn thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, stop playing. We're not doing this theater anymore. And I was like, yay. And then, of course, you've got Oregon. And those of us who lived through COVID in Oregon, I mean, we had our Governor Brown's boot on our necks far longer than most other states with the, remember the county restrictions, and this one's lifted, and if you had a plan to go to the coast, and then it was ridiculous. And I remember being on conference calls with other people that were sort of in local government and state government, and wanting to take a shower after all the crap that was just spewed at people coming from these administrations.
Yeah, well, and that's the other part of it. Two very different responses from the leadership of two different states, and they actually asked Trump about what the Fauci thing. And his response after that 2 weeks to slow the spread, he turned over control over to the governors. He put it at the state level. And that's why you saw Florida open up and kind of pushed back on Fauci even at that point, whereas Governor Brown doubled down, quadrupled down, and said, you can't travel outside of your county if the county you're traveling in has a high COVID count.
The number of I do want to say Trump did not fire Fauci. Trump should have fired Fauci.
Oh, yeah.
Trump did give us, well, of course, Fauci was the bad guy in the 80s with AIDS, too. So lest we forget that. If you watch, what is it, Dallas Buyers Club?
I think most people have forgotten that.
He's got a long track record of being pretty wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So the lockdowns were terrible. The restrictions that Thanksgiving, I had Thanksgiving, what was it, 6 people? Yeah, there were like 15 or 20 of me and my friends.
Well, we canceled.
We just were like not having it. We had many, but you felt like a criminal. It was absolutely insane.
Yeah, we ended up canceling our, we travel and see family every Thanksgiving. We canceled that for 2 or 3 years.
I got
all because
disinvited.
Of this stuff. Yeah, we did too. Told, you know, sorry, you can't come because you're not jabbed.
Or you're not going to wear a mask. Nope, mm-hmm. I'm not. Not doing it. Not doing it.
So, yes. And from my perspective, of course, I had kids in middle school at that point in time, in elementary school. And that aspect was the most heartbreaking, frustrating aspect of all of what Governor Brown, with Tina Kotek's help, did to us.
Yep. And the academic consequences, I mean, they have been severe. Statewide scores showed proficiency in reading and writing falling from 51% to 39% and math falling from 40 to 28. This is between 2019 and 2022. Oregon ranks 5th worst for pandemic reading loss and 8th worst for math. The average loss is of roughly 2/3 of grade level. The damage, the abuse, because this was child abuse that was done from state-sanctioned child abuse. Some of these kids will never recover from this. How many families have been torn apart? How many people died from remdesivir and ventilators and you know, how many families, how many businesses? I mean, this is a crime against humanity as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's where the frustration really lies, is the people that led this thing need to be held accountable. But unfortunately, they're hiding under the protection of government and they're going to claim, you know, the reality is to this day, we are still dealing with the fallouts because in those COVID years, guess what they did? They took away any standards of graduation in the state of Oregon.
Yeah.
And now they have Governor Kotek just extended that out through 27-28 school year. So while our graduation rates are getting better, our proficiency is falling off the map to the point where Oregon high school graduates are going to be looked at as not worth going to a college. Why would an out-of-state college want an Oregon student? You're not showing you can do anything, even if you aced everything.
Exactly right. Aced, in quotes. What does even acing mean? Another tweet over here. Oregon Ducks Mama tweeted this out from the state dashboard. Beaverton School District math, 53% down to 36. Portland, same thing. They're just is looking just at math, 48% down to 41. Salem Kaiser math, 35% down 21%. So enrollment is down 35 to 40,000. People are yanking their kids like crazy. They're moving. They're homeschooling. They're going to they're taking other choices. The public schools are in atrocious condition. And yet we're all still tax money's going to this.
Well, more tax money's going to this, because that's the other part of it. All of these schools were provided COVID relief funds while they had their doors closed, locked out families, locked out parents. They continue to still lock out the parents in most schools, and they took that relief money and created a whole lot of programs that need never-ending funding, and now we're paying a whole lot more for bureaucracy and things that don't make a lick of difference in the educational process, as things like writing and math and reading go the wayside.
You know, and I was posting about this a week or so ago about cursive, because now we without cursive and we don't teach cursive. And that's been since like they think the mid 2020s, I don't know, 2000s, where they just took that away as a requirement. I remember having to learn cursive and I always hated that the Q looked like a 2. It looks like a 2. It doesn't look like a Q. But you obviously, if you have a whole generation that can't read cursive, they can't read our founding documents. They can't read old letters from grandma and grandpa. They can't read historical documents. So even just wanting to bring cursive back you want to see that. I have a friend who was on the Salem Kaiser School Board and she tried to do just that and got shot down. But meanwhile, you've got Kotek out there touting that she bans cell phones in schools and all the investments and everything else. Well, the numbers tell a different tale.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the things that are being touted as successes and milestones and markers and great things, the numbers say different.
Well, which is why it's going to be so interesting to see if she actually, one, shows up for these debates,
mm-hmm.
or two, how she responds to that side of the coin, because she touts all the amazing, all these things, all the cell phones and securities and this and that, but yet the real purpose of an education is falling by the wayside. And how will she handle that? Because I'm going, if Christine Drazen doesn't press on those things,
yeah,
I then worry about if Christine Drazen is worthy of running for governor.
Well, yeah, these are kind of being handed. These are issues that everybody cares about. They're really nonpartisan issues. And it's a really a great opportunity for the Drazen team to highlight how choosing somebody different, choosing a Republican. Christine Drazen is not MAGA.
No.
No matter what they try to say.
Not even close.
Not at all. No. She's a Republican running for governor in Oregon. And that's its own thing in Oregon. Oregon is a different cat.
Well, yeah, let's be honest. It could be the most progressive conservative out there, and they're still going to call them MAGA.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So but these are great opportunities to take these issues. It's almost like they're just being handed over. So I'm hoping that the comms team makes a lot of hay out of that. Again, I'm not seeing that so far. Of course, we're in summer. Things are going to kick off. I think things are going to get better. Real quick before we take a break, though, just as far as how races are run, and of course how much we love Spencer Pratt and the way he ran his mayoral race, there's a dude running for mayor of Chicago. He's a Democrat, but it's a nonpartisan. Kind of coming, I sense a little of that vibe in there. It's a little bit more aggressive vibe. It's not AI or anything, but it was like, okay, I think this guy's kind of peeked in the playbook a little bit. So I'd like to see more of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. I don't mind being entertained in political ads. And he's just really laying down the issues and laying them down pretty firmly.
Well, especially for people that are living it and opening their eyes, whether it's Seattle, Portland, Chicago, Salem, anywhere else, we all see the problems. And being mm-hmm. honest with yourself and saying, I believe my eyes more than what I'm being told. I think that kind of an ad campaign can hit home with a whole lot of people.
Yeah, the Hilton for governor campaign is doing the same. Some of this, it's like, these are like little mini movies, and it's all AI, the machine. But a lot of that is messaging, and you keep repeating, then you get that into people's heads, and it does. It makes a difference. It really does. So, okay, let's go ahead and take our last break. You are listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's in New York Deli.
Gonna get me some gabagool next week. Yum. Yum, yum,
already,
yum.
Already on the agenda.
Yeah. Can I put my order in now?
I scheduled it.
we were talking off air. It seems like lately when I'm doing show prep, it's getting harder and harder to find positive stories.
Yeah.
It's hard from a perspective of what you want to talk about, because there are some days I feel like, man, we just ranted. Mm-hmm. But then it's like I'm looking for good. And we do have a good one to end with, you know, as someone who loves her Malbec and loves her wine, we have a good story. But it's like we don't talk to each other. We're living in people have two separate information universes. And if you follow one, you're blissfully unaware. I don't know. I'm betting a lot of people don't even know what's going on with Fauci right now, that they have no idea. Everything that we're following is completely off their radar.
Well, we're seeing it on the national news stations. What we are seeing is the moment the concept of Fauci even comes up, the hosts are shooting it down. They're changing the conversation. They don't want their listeners. It's one reason why I do. I get up every morning and I actually turn on Fox 12 to at least get some local news, because if I go to my X feed, I'm not mm-hmm. seeing as much of that. I'm not seeing the local stories. I'm seeing some. I'm seeing Kevin Dahlgren and Honey Badger Mom and some others, but their perspective is different than what you're seeing on the news. So that's why I like to watch the news. Even if it ticks me off and I get really enraged by it, it's worth it to me to see, just to at least understand possibly where that other side is coming from. But so many people don't do that. They pick one. There's a generation that religiously watches one set of news because that's what they grew up watching.
Right.
They don't do the social media thing. They don't look at other alternatives.
And I think you're smart to be looking at other sources. There's a number of, I think Ground News is one where you can kind of see and you can get the bias meter and see, you know, how many times was this story mentioned in right-wing media versus left-wing. What prompted this too is TMZ. I don't watch it. It's entertainment news. I don't really care. But he was, Harvey Levin was calling the attacks on Fauci one of the most heartbreaking things. And that's crazy, because when you look at all the propaganda that we spewed, that horrific, you know, Imagine song and all the songs and dance and celebrities, you know, shaming us and saying they love the lockdown. Well, yeah, you're in a $1 billion mansion, of course you like it, but you've got a lot of people that don't know what is happening, so they only know the propaganda side of things. They don't know the truth. And I don't know that if you're not interested in it and you're not curious, how do you converse, how do you reconcile that? And I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, well,
and it's frustrating
for me. I'm sitting here going, I do not give a rat's patootie what Harvey Levin has to say about anything.
No, nor do I, but I'm saying he's sort of indicative of that side.
But he's feeding into one of the primary problems we discovered with Fauci's diary is he was in love with the celebrityism of it.
Yep.
And he
yep.
fed into it, being able to be on TV for what, thousands of hours?
Yep.
Being on everyone's radar, everyone knew his name. You're feeding into it by making that part of entertainment news. That's not entertainment.
No. And you've got a culture that the ultimate goal is, what do you want to be when you grow up? An influencer. Back in the day, it used to be like a teacher, an astronaut, a firefighter, an actor, even a rock star. Now it's an influencer. And you've got younger and younger kids getting out there. And so it's this poisonous culture. But it is. It's, and then, you know, you're literally the diary is out there, but this guy is simply denying it. How is this heartbreaking? This dude knew exactly what was happening. He wrote it down, and his diary was not stolen. Mm-mm. It's not a little kid's diary with a lock. It was done on government servers. And I heard today, I think it was Robert F. Kennedy was saying that the reason they found it is because he emailed it to himself as part of preparation for writing a book. So this is not something that they ran in and went into his sock drawer and grabbed it and pulled it out. This was on public servers. But again, it's all there. He was saying one thing to the influencers and to Julia Roberts and to Brad Pitt, who played him on SNL. He was saying one thing to all of us out here in public land, and he was saying something completely different. So he knew the truth. He just either didn't care, or again, pride cometh before the fall, and this is narcissism taken to 11.
Well, and one of the other fallouts from all of Fauci's COVID lockdowns, which, of course, in Oregon, we bought into hook, line, and sinker, is young people's inability to talk to other people and not understanding what, you know, a face-to-face interaction, like you said, social media influencer, mm-hmm. right there, it tells you they don't want to be a teacher and stand in front of a classroom and actually influence 30 kids.
No.
They want to be online where they can, you know, spew whatever they want influence. I had a friend who he's a very vocal guy, and he actually went out and he engages in these conversations on occasion when he's out and about in the community.
Conversations? Oh.
He does. So he saw a young man at a grocery store with a shirt that says, "Socialism will bring the people together." So he asked him, "How would socialism bring us together?" His answer, well, first he said, "Well, you're so old, you might not understand." yes. But he says the fact that we are already have the tools to socialize, so by voting for socialism, the government will be able to get us to talk more and understand each other better.
Oh.
So you have a young person, probably very close to voting age, whose idea of socialism is about encouraging conversation.
And he's not alone. And it does not behoove the DSA or anybody else to correct him.
He said that virtually the guy's last statement was, "That's why socialism will work this time." So he said he rolled his eyes and walked away.
Wow. I can't say I'm surprised. And again, the people that are pushing it, again, even at the Salem City Council meeting, there were 7 people who publicly stated that they are Democrat Socialist of America, and they're pushing out a message out there. And you've got individuals like this young man who clearly have no concept of what it actually is, what it leads to, and what the end result is every time it's tried. And why would they even want to correct him?
Well, and the other side of it is, we are silencing anyone that's actually lived through socialism. Mm-hmm. And making sure that they're not able to kind of spread the message that socialism isn't a good thing, whether they're Cubans, whether they're from China. I mean, people don't want to hear what people that have actually lived through the scenario. I remember during COVID, we had a woman who lived through the Holocaust try and, you know, make some statements about what she was seeing in relation you know, during COVID and the lockdowns and the giving up of our freedoms in relation to what she lived through in 1930s Germany. And you couldn't find that message. It would be deleted from social media as quickly as it was put up.
Yeah, yeah, that's happening a lot. Of course, next week, too, of course, we've already talked to Imran Salem, and he has a new book out called Counterscript. And he talks about growing up in Mao's China and what that was actually really like. And these are, again, are important voices. I highly recommend the book as well. It's a fascinating read, which we'll talk more about that next week when he and Carrie are on. But yeah, you're right. And there, Lily Tang, I forget her last. She's an Anglo. She's married to an Anglo. But anyway, Williams, Lily Tang Williams. I think she's in New Hampshire. She's running for office. She ran for office in New Hampshire. Same thing. Trying to speak up and say things. People that have come out of, you know, Konstantin Kissin, who was came out of Russia and is living in the UK now. All these voices. And then you've got kids like this who are being, and they're not being told anything else, and they're encouraged to believe that. Yeah, 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 that's right. That's that's what it is. It's about nice parties and being able to talk to each other, being kind, being sharing.
Well, it's right there in the name. It's social. Be social.
It's funny that he said it'll work this time. So he must have some inclination that it's been tried before.
I would guess if you're wearing that shirt out in public, someone has come to you and said, what would make socialism work this time around?
Just be nicer.
Just be nicer. Let's just talk about it. Let's have good conversation.
When you're taking over the means of production, do it with a smile on your face. Come on. You don't have to be meanies about it.
When you're walking the aisles of that government grocery store, just be excited that you're, you know, the prices are undercutting actual actual grocery stores.
Driving the grocers out of business. All right. We got a couple of minutes left. I want to talk about this one because I do like wine. And this is so cool. Rogue Valley named the number one best wine region in the country. Congratulations. It's according to USA Today's 10 Best Reader's Choice. It's a People's Choice Award, and the people voted them the best wine region. That is an honor. It recognizes the nation's top destinations and attractions through public voting. The Rogue Valley American Viticultural Area, it spans 70 miles wide, 60 miles long, from Grants Pass to Ashland, and includes the Applegate Valley. I love Oregon wine. Oregon wine is wonderful. We've got, of course, we've got Willamette Valley Vineyards, which is a lovely spot. They're great too, but this is cool. So congratulations to the Rogue Valley.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, and it's great. And I sit here and go, all I can do is go, I hope that the winds don't shift where, you know, next year's wine has that smoky flavor to it. Because we love to talk about the beauty of Oregon. Here's some of it. Let's do things that can protect it. Because we've heard the stories. Every time there's a massive wildfire, what these wineries have to do to protect their grapes.
Yeah, yeah. And Oregon now is really known for their wineries. And of course, now nationally, they're known. I don't know, a little smoky, little oaky, smoky Chardonnay or Pinot Gris. I don't know.
Sadly, the way Oregon's going, that might be all that's left in Oregon. Wineries and forest. Burning forest.
Well, anyway, that's some good news. And I want to find more of that. So I will be on the lookout next week for more good news. We've got great shows planned next week, too. Busy week next week.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun week. And we'll wrap it up on Thursday at the Polk County Fairgrounds. And then, of course, Jake's Real Matters will be at the Polk County Fairgrounds. We're going to run 11-1 next Thursday. Yeah.
Programming note. We'll remind you of that next week. All right, that's it for us. Have a glass of Oregon wine this weekend. Have a great day. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.